Founded in 1991 by patients, the FSH Society is the largest grassroots network of FSHD patients, their families, and research activists. The FSH Society offers a community of support, news, and information for the millions of men, women, and children affected by FSHD worldwide. This is FSH Society Radio. Welcome to the show, FSH Society Radio, here for another month episode of FSH Society Radio. I'm Tim, your host. Thanks for being here. Thanks for taking time out of your busy lives, busy schedules to come together as a group, those that either have FSH or caregivers, family members, friends interested in this, and coming together as a group, a support group, I guess, as we like to say. And today is going to be one of those special shows, I think, where we're going to have some great guests on. We're going to be flooding the phone lines. They're already loading up with some great FSH people and volunteers out there that want their voices heard to talk about what our main subject is going to be today. And that is about the chapter programs getting started up throughout FSH Society. And it's very exciting. It's the first time something like this has, you know, really been getting this organized to this effect. So we wanted to kind of bring it out in grand fashion with this show. It's already been talked about, you know, throughout the FSH website. It's not, you know, a stranger to most, I suppose, if you've been keeping up on what's going on FSHsociety.org. But tonight we're really going to focus in and talk about that. So busy show, and we'll talk more about our guests coming on in a bit. Want you to chime in if you can. Like I said, it's going to be a crowded house on the switchboard. That's okay. We'll try to get you in tonight. The phone number to dial in is 949-270-5953. You can follow the show on Twitter at FSH Society, FSHsociety.org. Of course, the website, Facebook is on there. You can email FSH at FSHsociety.org. And if you want to just email me, I would love to hear your feedback, questions, responses, anything. If it's just, even if you want to just go back and forth one-on-one, my email is fshradiohost@gmail.com, and you can do that. I kind of had a call to arms, so to speak, or a call to the community at the Vegas event back in June, where I shared a video that I made here in my little home studio, as I call the Rec Room Studio, here where I broadcast in Milwaukee area. And it was kind of a call to get your stories to me. I wanted to start a project with the FSH Society that I thought would be a lot of fun, a lot of excitement, because June brought the idea to me initially that we were going to do it at the Vegas conference. It didn't work out that way. So I said, you know what, I can't be there personally, physically, to the Vegas conference, so let's just continue with the project idea, and let's call people to do that. And it's basically StoryCorps. I want to hear your story of FSH, either via caregiver, if you're a friend, a family member, a person that has the disease. I want to hear your story. I've gotten some responses already, and so those that are listening right now, I've received your responses. I'm going to get in touch with you this month. We're going to start recording your story, and what I hope to do is use it as compilation pieces and upcoming shows, maybe a complete show just with your stories that we can share. And the call for those stories are still out there. I still need you to contact me, get in touch with me. Let's set up a time here. And let's start recording some of these great interviews. I know they're going to be great. They're going to be a lot of fun to listen to. And that's right, I said a lot of fun to listen to. I know sometimes the stories can be of heartbreak. Sometimes the stories are difficult to hear. But talking with people and sharing the message every way possible is really the goal. And that's why I do this show, and that's why I want to do the StoryCorps as well. FSH host, or FSH radio host, excuse me, at gmail.com is my email. I'll give you my own personal cell number too. That's right. It's going to be broadcasted here. It's 414 659-3392. Send me a text message that way if you need to. Call me if you'd like. Let's talk. Let's set it up. So there's my call. We're going to continue to call on you guys to help out in that regard and help get the word out. So to me, that's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be really exciting. So the other thing is we got some great guests right tonight lining up. We have two of the main charter members here, or I should say chapter members that are starting these chapter groups. And with the chapter groups, they're going to be throughout the area of the country, and we're going to hear from the leaders of those groups. Well, the two main people that are really kind of spearheading it on behalf of the FSH Society are Beth Johnston and Lee Reynolds. Beth Johnston, I can already see she's already chalked up. She's already ready. I have her already in the caller queue, so already welcome for her. And just waiting on Lee to dial in. So Lee, if you're there and I'm not recognizing your number, shoot me an email right now and let me know that you're in there. Let me know your last four, and I'll make sure you're logged in here. And that's really about the show, is that we have people calling in, and we're gonna talk to our featured guests. We're gonna talk to Lee tonight. We're gonna talk to Beth, and we're gonna hear how all this is all starting, the motivation behind it, ask them some questions, and then towards the end of that segment, we're gonna start bringing in each of these leaders that are heading up their own chapter groups, and we're going to talk to them individually, hoping keeping Lee and Beth on the line at the same time. So kind of a four-way call. It might, and I hope it all works out well on your end. Those that are listening, we'll do our best to keep it clear and understand, you know, the message that we're trying to portray. So that's why, as me, a radio host here, producer guy, I'm sweating it a little bit in here. I'm not going to lie. I'm a one-man show. But this is what I live for. This is going to be a lot of fun tonight, so I'm looking forward to it. And I've been waiting all month to get back in here and do a show, and this one's going to be a lot of fun, a unique one of its kind to have this many callers. So I'm excited for that. The other thing is that I wanted to share with you, and maybe I'm a little early in sharing this, but I kind of want to share that, okay, I just had my birthday. So, you know, shoot off the happy birthdays, right? Thank you. And about 30 years ago, I hiked the Grand Canyon rim to rim with a great friend of mine. His name is Brian Hoskins. And I still know Brian. We're still friends. And that's great within itself after all these years. And we were 13. If I'm doing the math right, that's 30 years. Yeah. We were 13 when we did it. And I had this inkling, like, I think I want to do it again. I'm like, I think I want to hike this thing again. Now, keep in mind that I have FSH, like so many of you do that are listening. And I thought to myself, okay, this could be a challenge. So with that in mind, you know, I thought, okay, a challenge is fun. And I got the inspiration a little bit from when we had Justin and Patrick on from I'llPushYou.org when they did a huge hike and physical exertion marathon type hike in Spain, and they raised money for the MDA. And I thought, I think I want to do something like that and relive that experience with my good friend. And so I reached out to him just this last week, and I hope this is not just the I'm getting older, I need to do something before it's over, you know, like midlife crisis-y kind of thing. So what I'm hoping is, this is breaking news here, what I hope is that this time next year, I'll be getting myself ready for a late August hike of the Grand Canyon rim to rim, and we're going to start raising money to accomplish this and raise money for the FSH Society, somehow intertwine that. Everybody at the FSH Society is behind it. Beth Johnston is already working on the back end, trying to get some web stuff going for us, and June Kinoshita's got, you know, I think I sent the email, and about 5 minutes back I got a response like, that'd be awesome, let's do that. So I'm a little nervous already. I have to work out, actually, do what I can to work out. I need to get my legs under me again a little bit, my hiking legs, but I'm excited. And because I'm excited, I wanted to share this. So for every month, I'll keep you in tune of how the training is going and how we're doing. And we're going to build a little, like I said, website on there and start the fundraising going. And we're going to do some, I don't know if we'll be able to do live feeds, but what I'm hoping for is that we'll be able to, at the very least, because there's not a lot of internet service down there. So what I'm kind of hoping for is that we can talk a little bit about, you know, like after the hike and where we're at, and give you some progress reports and all that fun stuff. So that's kind of my hope at this point. So that's kind of in store. That's something I guess I wanted to reveal and share with my friends here on the FSA Society radio show with you all, that I'd really love to do that. So, yeah. Okay, just got an email from Lee. So Lee's going to be dialing. Yeah, Lee, I'm glad that you got the call out. Not seeing the last four, so just let me know. Get you on there, get you in the caller queue here. You guys can go ahead and get yourselves ready because we're about ready to take our first break here of the show. When we come back, like I said, we're going to give a good conversation going here with Beth Johnston and Lee Reynolds, talk about these chapter groups. Really excited to get into it. Got some good questions lined up. You can also have your questions lined up in the chat room. That's wide open. We got four guests lined up in there, a whole host of callers lined up as well. Really excited for this show. If you can't tell, just can't stop. So I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to cool down, take a little drink, relax for a couple seconds, and we're going to come back, get the show on the road, bring in our featured guests, Beth and Lee. You're listening to the FSH Society Radio Show.
FSHD is one of the most common forms of muscular dystrophy. It's a degenerative disease that weakens muscles in the face, shoulders, upper back, and legs. FSHD robs you of your smile and makes simple tasks nearly impossible to perform. FSHD affects hundreds of thousands of people, but most have never met another patient. Many have not even been diagnosed. Someone you know may be living with FSHD. Let them know they are not alone and that we're making real advances toward a treatment. You can help by going to our website, fshsociety.org/cureFSHD, and share the photos and facts about the disease using the hashtag CureFSHD. By simply raising awareness, you could change someone's life and help us get closer to a cure.
To the show, FSH Society Radio Show. Thanks for being here on this fun filled, guest packed filled show we have in store for you tonight. I think it's going to be a lot of fun getting these callers in. We're going to start it off with our two chapter leaders, and that's going to be Beth Johnston and Lee Reynolds. They're going to they're basically the organizers, right? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to get right to the guts of it, the start of it here on the FSH Society Radio Show. If you want to chat in is what I wanted to say as well. You can do that. There's a chat room up at Blog Talk Radio. If you're listening through there, go into the chat room. We got four guests lined up in there. So welcome to all of you. You can stay anonymous if you'd like in there and just have a generic guest name. You can use your own name. It's fine. It's your choice. It's all safe here. Oh, fantastic. Also, you can email me directly, fshradiohost@gmail.com. That's always a great way, either during the show, after the show. Got comments, questions, you can share those with me as well. Follow the show on Twitter, Facebook, and, of course, at fshsociety.org. So we have a big call-in day today, and we're excited to have – we'll bring them in here one at a time for us. We have Beth Johnston coming in live right now, and then we'll have in Lee Reynolds as well. And looks like hopefully we got him in loud and clear. So – welcome, Beth and Lee. How are you both?
Good, Tim. How are you?
Yeah, doing great well. This evening. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much. Can you hear us okay?
Absolutely. I can hear you loud and clear. You guys sound great.
Okay, good. I got these new AirPod things for my phone, and I just don't know how they work, so we'll see.
They sound good. Yeah, they sound good. That's a nice plug to Apple. Great.
Right.
I know. Horrible, right?
So why don't we start off right away with, the main question is, I think it's some people that are maybe even just understanding what's going on with the organization here of the FSH Society, which to me is just very exciting. It's very powerful. That's how I feel. Like you're kind of almost lining up your army. So tell us a little bit about the background of, you know, how these chapter groups have started, or even a little bit of background about yourself. I know, Beth, you've been on the show several times, but Lee, I know, is a new guest to the show. So I'll kind of throw those questions at you guys.
All right, I'll start.
You jump in, Beth.
Okay, I was just going to say, I've been involved with the FSH Society for, it seems like, forever. Shortly after my husband was diagnosed with FSH, I got involved volunteering and fundraising. And by gosh, I wish we had a chapter program 15 years ago when we got our first diagnosis. It would have been very helpful to have that back then.
Yeah, I would imagine it probably would have been a lot more helpful to understand other people in your community close nearby, you know. Like for me, I do feel like a little bit of a lone up here in the Great North in the Milwaukee area. I don't know of anybody that has it. I'm sure there's somebody. But the group that I've been traveling to so far just one time, couldn't make the second time, is in Chicago. So I can imagine, yeah, it would be nice to have, especially early on in that diagnosis, to have a group close to you, to kind of have that sense of community. How about you, Lee? Tell us a little bit of the background for you with FSH.
That's a perfect segue to sort of how I came to be involved with the FSH Society. I don't have any personal experience. No one in my immediate family or thereafter has FSH, but I like to say that they're quickly becoming part of my family. I have about 20-plus years in fundraising and development with nonprofits, and the lion's share of my work has been doing just what we're talking about here, is helping volunteers, people that are impacted by a condition or rallied behind a cause, connect. And so I've built chapter programs and fundraising programs for different groups all across the country. And my main goal is to just help patients engage, connect, live stronger, better lives, because it sounds a little corny, but we are better together. And so when they looked at starting this chapter program, I have a history of doing this work with Mark Stone, who is the relatively new CEO. And so he called me up, and we started with a really awesome, just a exploratory meeting to see if we thought it would work. And I don't know, you can answer better than me, Beth, but I felt like we all left really jazzed and excited, feeling like not only can this work, the FSH Society is so ready and it's going to do really well. And we've been at it ever since. I think that was October of last year.
Yeah, and we did. We left so jazzed, I wanted to start it right then.
So then from October, that's when the first conversations kind of started to happen about building up these chapter programs. And now we're here in August, and the ducks are starting to line up a little more in a row as we go, as we're getting closer now, almost a year since it was talked about. That's a pretty quick turnaround, it feels like. Which to me
is
with that kind of, with that kind of motivation too, what motivates you guys to, you know, how did that come about? You know, that they, Lee, you kind of mentioned it a little bit, that you were kind of plucked out or asked, you know, by, Mark a little bit to kind of come out and help out. And Beth, I know that you're knee deep in the society as well, but like what, beyond those obvious things, you know, what kind of motivates you or drives you guys to gather others then? You know, to kind of reach out to these other cities to kind of find leadership in those locations.
So, you know, Mark has come out and said, we have a goal, and we put this line in the sand that we are going to have treatments to our families by the year 2025, which is not that far away. It's less than 7 years away. And he made it very clear, and he's done this with other organizations, in order to do this and to grow, we need to grow an army of volunteer activists. And honestly, a chapter program is the absolute best way to do this. It's been proven over and over again that having these armies out there, many little FSH societies all over the country, is the only way that we can achieve this. Because we can't be everywhere, right? So if we've got local representation of the FSH Society around the country, it's just going to ensure that our hands and hearts are close to our families, really.
Absolutely. And I'm just really extremely passionate about helping the helpers in the world. And I've worked with different patient groups that have, with the best of intentions, sometimes turn into, they baby the patients or they don't. I just feel like there's so much power and there's so much strength and the unity when the patient population and the people that love them come together. I've seen it time and time again. If you just give them the right tools and the right resources and a little bit, we just pour a little bit of, you know, fuel on the fire that they already have inside. And it's like, it's magical, really, what can happen. And it's not only about driving towards those treatments and a cure, which is the ultimate goal. That was the initial and the most primary driving impetus. But to see the positive impact that it has on people's lives, to see people that have never been in the same room with someone with the same condition, and they come to their first chapter program and meet someone with the same condition or come to a walk, that is life-changing. And so for them, and it has been life-changing for me to be a really lucky witness to that. So that's really what drives me. And from the moment I met some of the board members and staff leadership at the FSH Society, and then have been lucky to meet many more patients and members in the community since then, I am very confident that we're going to look back over our shoulder in just a few years and be amazed at how far we've come. It's a really amazing group of people.
Now, how did the recruiting process go to start some of these chapter groups? Were they already some of the established meeting groups that are around the nation right now, and then kind of making them more official, as I use air quotes, you know, making them into the chapter programs? Is that kind of where it kind of spawned from?
Yeah, so really most of the chapters really did evolve from groups that had already been meeting on a regular basis. And there was just someone that stepped up there and said, I want to take on the leadership position. And so Lee and I have been working since October to build a real program, a real manual for these leaders, for them to run their chapters. And we're asking them to pretty much just kind of coordinate a committee of people, which is kind of what's going on already, but we're going to provide them with more resources, more training. We're going to provide them, the ability to talk with one another, to brainstorm with each other on what works, what doesn't, and just to be a part of the leadership community as well. And they don't know this yet, but we are actually,
they will now.
they're going to know now. We're actually coordinating an in-person, like, summit meeting where we all get together in person early 2019, probably late January, early February, if we can all muster it. We're going to have everybody come together in person so they can receive some intense leadership training and get to know one another and just be together. So, it's
wow.
It was grassroots, and now we're calling it, we're professionalizing our volunteers, really.
Yeah. Well, and we've set some basic standards. There's some minimum requirements. They're not huge, but it's host two meetings a year, one that has a strong educational component, host one fundraiser. The goal is for chapters to be self-sustaining. We do everything we can to shore them up, provide all this support, a lot of tools, a lot of resources that they don't have to go out and build websites. They don't have to go out and get software. You know, we provide all of those things. So the training, the support, a lot of tools, a lot of resources, and giving them the framework to work within, and then they can really make it their own. And that's one of the cool things, is to see how the different chapters in the different cities, they still have that they're a part of the National FSH Society because they're meeting some of those core branding standards, and that's good for everyone. But they really do start to develop their own strengths and their own personalities, and it's exciting to see that develop. So, you know, everyone's been given sort of that job description and the expectations and what we are asking of them and what they can expect from us. So there shouldn't be a whole lot of surprises. There'll still be some learnings along the way, but we tried to really lay that out before we went out and spoke to the folks and invited them to come on as official chapter leaders. And Beth can speak better to this than me because she made those phone calls and had the conversations. But I felt like the response was really overwhelmingly positive. They were excited to get some real meat in their hands, you know, something they could grab onto and advance the work they'd already been doing. So,
now,
yeah, that's exactly right.
Too late if someone is listening now and is like, hey, there's not really a meeting group in my area that was ever really established, but this chapter group sounds great. Are they too late to raise their hand and say, we want to be involved in their community to rise up and volunteer?
Oh, absolutely not. As a matter of fact, we're encouraging it. We've got our hands full, you know, in the next few months with the folks that we're trying to get on board quickly. But, you know, the goal is to grow a chapter wherever one is needed. And so if anyone out there is inspired and would like to step up to the plate and help us build a chapter in your local area if there isn't one already, then absolutely. We even got a form on our website under the Get Involved button where you can just submit your name and somebody, that would be me, will call you back and just have a discussion about, you know, what the goals are and if they're ready to do something like that. So, no, absolutely. Let us know. And if there is already a chapter in your area, get involved with the chapter. The leaders are going to need as much help as they can get. We've got committee positions open. And, yeah, I mean, if there is already something going, you can absolutely help out there as well.
So that's fantastic because I have a feeling that I wouldn't be surprised that there might be some people listening now or even after this show airs live and they're listening to the podcast of it and they're like, hey, wait a minute, you know, there's nothing in my neck of the woods really, or maybe they have a small meeting group that they do this already, but they want to become one of these chapter groups. So that's good to know that, you know, they're not too late. They might have to wait a little bit, it sounds like, till the dust settles a little bit with the startup process, but once it gets going, they can kind of jump right into the stream, as we say. So the timeline to creating these, you start them in October, and obviously it sounds like you're going to have a, you know, a leaders meeting. And when do you want to have everything, as you would say, comfortably, you know, lined up to have these official, or, you know, when your goal is met? What does that timeline look like?
So this year, the goal by the end of the year is to have 12 chapters officially set up throughout the country. And I can give you those locations in a little bit if anyone's interested. And then, but the goal is really to have at least 20 chapters by the end of 2020 rolled out. So we're starting strong this year, getting 12 out. And then, honestly, as they come, I think we'll have the structure in place that we can probably set folks up pretty quickly and get them going. But the ultimate goal is to at least have 20 around the country, which means there would probably be one pretty dang close to you so that you have some place to go.
Yeah, and I, as we've talked about it and established those goals, I've told Beth before, conservative goal. I think it's limited by bandwidth. You know, it's a very strong but very small and mighty national staff at the organization. And so part of my role is to help them set up the right infrastructure and systems so that it is scalable and can grow. But if the early indicators are anything, I think we'll blow past, you know, and as long as we get the systems and structure set up well, that we can start cranking them open as people put their hand up. I think 20 chapters by 2020 is a conservative goal. Just from what I've seen from the outpouring of the patient population and their desire to really make something happen. We just have to keep up. So, you know, we got
to agree with you.
There because we absolutely want to do it well. And so the goal is not to just say yes to everyone and then not be able to properly support them. So while there's tremendous enthusiasm and excitement, both on the patient community side, as well as the staff, to go as far as we can, you know, as fast as we can, we also are keeping a very good eye on, is the right system and structure in place? Are we properly supporting everyone so that they have a really great experience and that the execution is well? We would hate to bring too many people on too fast and then we're not able to provide the level of support that they really deserve and need. So we are keeping an eye on that as well.
Yeah.
How does these chapter groups, you mentioned the goals of, you know, like Mark Stone has been saying, having that cure by 2025, which is in less than 7 years, which is fantastic. And then it seems like, you know, when that goal is kind of laid out there, then it was talk of these chapter groups being forming. How do these chapter groups coincide of meeting that goal? How does it make it easier than just having meeting groups as opposed to having these chapter groups?
Well, it really it formalizes the meeting groups that were just meeting informally. It formalizes them more. And you know, what Lee had said is we're trying to make them self-supporting, so the fundraising aspect of that is a huge part of it. I mean, we kind of minimize it a little bit, that you just need to kind of support the activities of the chapter. But in a sense, what will happen, because it just historically speaking, it always does, is the fundraising actually becomes a very large part of the chapter group, and they're able to do more than just support themselves, and it's actually move us forward faster towards our goal. In addition to raising a ton of awareness, being ready for clinical trials. So when I'm meeting with a researcher tomorrow at the Ohio State University, and he's got something that's going to be going into clinical trials probably in the next few years, and he's going to come to the Columbus chapter for people to volunteer for clinical trials. So that's another key aspect, is that we have the people ready and willing and able to participate in these things when we have treatments ready to go into trials.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I think that's such a really important point, because one of the biggest barriers to research progress and research success is when you get to the clinical trial stage. It can cost a pharmaceutical or a drug development company upwards of $10,000 to $12,000 to recruit one patient into a study. So it really drives the cost up. And there's a lot of patients don't fully understand the power that they have in that process by being involved. And it's very hard for the researchers and the folks that are developing these treatments that will eventually lead to a cure to find the patients. So the richer the patient network is within the FSH society, we can dramatically shorten that timeline, because more patients will be sort of on the rolls. They will have signed up. They'll be a part of the chapter group. We'll have an infrastructure of a stronger communication system to let them know that this information is out there. We can help educate on the process and the important role that the patients play in that process. And so that's a really important piece of shortening that timeline on the research front, as well as the fundraising to fund it all. So that's they're equally important halves of the, you know, the same coin. But I also think there's a part of the formalization process that just is that system, and it allows us to scale up. So it's things like when someone is searching and they see that there is a URL that's the Ohio FSH Society, they instantly know that it's not just this, what can feel like a nameless, faceless, large society, national organization. They instantly see that there's something local. So it's setting up those web pages, the direct URLs, the direct emails, someone that is fully resourced and supported in the local area to make those contacts. And so I just think it's such a critical piece of reaching that goal of you know, treatments by 2025.
Absolutely. Yeah, it sounds like it's a well needed tool to get this push to get to that 2025 goal. I think it's awesome
it's
that you guys
fuel.
Have. It is the rocket fuel. Yeah, it's exactly what is needed to get the job done. What kind of events are these chapter groups going to be holding that you'd love to share with those listening?
Well, we would love to share. Lee and I have been working hard with the rest of the staff to develop kind of a fundraiser in a box, we're calling it. And we've branded it as the Walk and Roll to Cure FSHD. And we've been working with some leaders, we call them the pioneers around the country, to go through all of our materials and to test our platform and our processes and everything to make sure that somebody who steps up and says, I want to do a fundraiser, we can say, you know what, we've got a toolkit for you to do one in your local area. And these pioneers are going to be doing their fundraisers starting in September. The first one will launch in Colorado on September the 8th, and it will go through the first week of October in Cary, North Carolina. But I just, if you don't mind, I just want to say where these fundraisers are going to be, and if you're close
Absolutely.
By, they'd love to have you. You can find more information, of course, on our website about all of these. Get registered to walk. It's free to sign up, but we encourage everyone to do some fundraising to participate in the walk, and there are prizes to be had. But in Castle Rock, Colorado, September the 8th is coming up quickly, more quickly than I'd like. Columbus, Ohio, September the 15th. We've got one in the Bay Area, and we're going to be walking as part of the Alameda Running Festival on September the 16th. It's a Sunday. Puyallup, Washington, which is right outside Seattle, on September the 22nd. And then in Cary, North Carolina, just outside of Raleigh, on Sunday, October the 7th. So these people, these leaders, have been working really hard since January to coordinate and to recruit and to get ready for these relief fund fundraisers that will be rolling out. What do you have to add, Lee?
Well,
yeah.
I've been working on walks for different organizations for almost 25 years now. It's funny because I remember 15 years ago or more sitting in a room with a very large national organization that had a very large walk network. And the topic was, the walk's going to run its course. What's the next big thing? And here we are 15, 20 years later, and the walks are still going strong, not only for that organization, but for others. Because the core focus of an event like that is drilling into really connecting with the people that care about your cause and then the people that care about them. And so what I'm excited about doing is showing that it really is accessible to do this kind of event. I've got, 15, 20 years of pulling together the best practices on this kind of event. And so what we've been working with the coordinators on is sharing that experience and so trying to make sure that it's as solid of a launch as possible. But the best thing about these events is to see what happens among team members and among folks that are engaging in the event and participate. It's I know I sound so melodramatic, but I truly have seen I've seen lives change through a simple thing like signing up for a walk and fundraising, because it gives people an opportunity to talk about something that deeply impacts their lives. It is not every day that you can just walk up to people you know and say, hey, let me tell you how FSHD has impacted my life, and let me share that story. That's sort of a hard entry, right? But when you're fundraising for an event that you're participating in, it makes it so much easier. You can just shoot a little email. You can post about it on social media. You can say, let me tell you a little bit about this event I'm participating in and why. And here's how you can help. And the cool thing is that supporters come out of the woodwork that you would never think would be there. I've seen people say, it made it so much easier to talk about how this has impacted my life. I received more support than I ever imagined. And whether someone gives you their $5 or $25 donation or not, you still get that wonderful experience. And it really changes things in a really positive way. So these pioneers have done an amazing job. They've worked very hard because they put the fundraiser out before their local chapters were fully established, which made their work a little harder. So they are true heroes in my book because they've really worked tremendously hard, and it's just around the corner. So right now we have those five, but we know there'll be more next year, and that event will grow as the chapter program grows. But the cool thing is that we are not requiring chapters to do the walk. That's going to be very nationally supported. And have a key and the whole toolkit with lots of in-depth training, support, tools, and resources. But if someone wants to launch a chapter and they say, man, that is totally not my thing, but I am a wine aficionado and I know all the people in town and I can pull off a wine tasting and an auction, that's what, really gets me excited. We'll say, awesome, you can do that. Somebody else that's really into, they want to do a sewing bee.
Right.
They can decide. Fundraising is really about taking what are you good at, what are you passionate about, what are your hobbies, and how do you leverage that to bring good to a cause that you care about. And
right.
So the walk is the most supported one. That's the first nationally branded national fundraising event for the FSH Society, but you're not limited by that. So we're giving people a lot of flexibility as well.
Now we have we had a call out to, from June Kinoshita to a lot of the chapter leaders to call in tonight to join us three in a little bit of this conversation and, you know, give them some time to kind of talk about their motivation briefly and their story a little bit. So right now, you know, I'm going to start introducing, you know, each caller one at a time. So those leaders that are on the line right now, this is your moment. I have some of you with the last four digits of your phone number already ahead of time, so I'll be able to call you out hopefully by the correct name that I have coordinated with those of your phone number, but there's a couple I do not. So this is how it'll work, just so we're all on the same page. I'll pick up that line for you guys waiting on hold. I'll say out the last four digits of your number and just say who you are and tell us about your leadership role with the chapter groups of the FSH Society. So why don't we start off with one of our first callers here. Last four digits are 4084. I believe this is Sue. Sue, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Thank you.
Now, where is your leadership role for this chapter program? As in, what city are you out of?
I am in Columbus, Ohio.
Fantastic. And tell us a little bit about your involvement. How did you start the involvement of being in this leadership role?
Well, my impetus for starting a chapter began last August, August 24th, when our son called us from Colorado and told us he had been diagnosed with FSHD. And my husband and I had never heard of that, and most people haven't that I've talked to. And he proceeded to tell us what it was and what it could mean to his future. And Bob and I both broke down in tears.
Mm-hmm.
And we're a very active running, walking, mountain climbing family. And
mm-hmm.
the thought of not being able to do those things together was incomprehensible to us. Our 36-year-old married son with a 1-year-old daughter and
mm-hmm.
a newborn. And so not long after, about 4 weeks after that, my husband was diagnosed with FSHD.
Wow.
And so I was beside myself, and I made a commitment to my family that I would do everything humanly possible to learn about
mm-hmm.
the disease and offer my services to help move progress along in finding a cure.
Wow.
And the first person I called was Beth Johnston. And she told me how lucky I was to be in Columbus, Ohio, where Scott Harper was located in his lab. And so after I spoke with Beth, I called Scott Harper, and he immediately arranged for us to come and have an introduction to him and his team, and he gave us a tour of his lab, and he's working on a cure for FSHD. And then I called Mark Stone and asked him what I could do to help raise money to fund the cure. And so September 15th, I'm hosting the Walk and Roll to Cure FSHD, and tomorrow is the long-awaited launch of the Columbus chapter to offer an opportunity
wow.
for Bob and I and all those affected, including friends, loved ones, caregivers in Ohio and surrounding states, to have a place to meet and collaborate and share and support one another, because we really need each other. And it's just such a rare disease. And both my husband and son, when we look back on it, once we learned about it,
mm-hmm.
we realized Bill, my son, had it for about 20 years. He had been asking
right.
our doctor, what's going on with my shoulder? And it's like, oh, you're 6'5". It's just growing issues, you know. And then my husband, for 20 years, had been having issues. And so it's time to bring awareness of this disease to the
right.
population and raise money and get this cure out so everyone can have it.
You know what?
That's
and,
my
amen, Sue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say, well said. Well said. Thanks, Sue, for joining us and sharing your story. We do appreciate that. Thanks for being such a great leader and stepping up. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
So, you know, that's Sue's story. We got more for you guys here. We got another caller, I believe, another team leader or chapter leader. Last four digits here are 4656. Unfortunately, I don't have your name. You're live on air on the FSH Society radio show. We'll go on to the next. Okay. That's how we roll, guys. This is how this works. This is live radio. This is fun. Okay, next one I believe is last four digits here are 6003. I believe this is Landon. Landon, you're on FSH Society Radio.
Well, hi, Tim. How are you guys doing today?
I am doing great. Awesome. Landon, where are you calling from, and what chapter are you heading? What city?
Well, I'm out of Gilbert, Arizona, and we're the Arizona mm-hmm. chapter. We're going to do it statewide, and we'll be right behind you next year when you walk the Grand Canyon.
Ah, fantastic. No. That sounds great.
Yep.
That sounds great.
We'll work hand in hand with you. We'll do whatever you need.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I might I'm going to need a lot of help. So,
yes.
Yeah, I think I might be a little crazy, but that's okay.
We'll be there with you.
So, so besides my crazy idea to do this rim-to-rim walk in your lovely state in the Grand Canyon next year, what else are you guys working on down there in Arizona?
Oh, we're just we've got a lot of area to cover, so we're trying to schedule a few meet and greets right now before we actually launch the big launch, and hopefully we can do a walk and roll next year, which would be fun, but not in the summertime. We'll have to do it in the spring or the fall. A little warm
right.
out here this time of year.
I bet.
So we're doing that. We're reaching out mm-hmm. to the healthcare industry and others. So we're just going. Sky's the limit,
awesome.
As Lee said.
Yeah, absolutely. Landon, what has motivated you to become a chapter leader in Arizona?
Well, I've known about the FSH for a long time with myself, my siblings, my grandfather, but I had never met another person with it until I signed up for the society membership and went to the Connect conference in 2014 in Boston. And I'll tell you, that was a great and humbling experience, and it was fantastic to see everybody's hope, everybody's inspiration. And then
mm-hmm.
we've been going to Tucson meetings with Ray and Cindy. And at one here this spring, we met June and Mark and talked a lot about the different things and told them that, you know, we would like to get more involved. We would do things like that. And the next thing you know, they're calling us and saying, hey, we got a chapter program coming. And we said, great, we'll jump right on board. So that's how we got involved.
So do you have people in your family? What's your FSH story? Is affecting you and your family? What can you share with us about that?
Well, I have four brothers and sisters. I have a sister
mm-hmm.
that now gets around totally by wheelchair. I have another sister who has a mild case of it. I have two brothers that have medium to mild cases of it. And then I found out my grandfather had it, and he had a pretty mild
wow.
case. So we've been just watching everybody deteriorate over the years and
mm-hmm.
Watched myself deteriorate in the last 10 years. Before that, I was
mm-hmm.
a hiker and a skier and an athlete
right.
of all kinds. But 10 years ago, my legs decided it was time to give it up. So,
right. So you
so
stepped
that's what
up
I've
and
been
said,
doing.
Right. And it sounds like you've stepped up and said enough is enough, and we're going to join the fight here and become united.
That's
fantastic.
Yep, the more people we can do it, the better.
Well, we
so
definitely appreciate you.
Happy.
You know, Landon, people like you really really inspire me to step up, and we're glad that you have. We're glad that you came on the show to share your story. I do appreciate that.
Well, thank you. We'll be in touch for your Grand Canyon hike.
Absolutely. I'm not going to lose your number.
Okay.
Thanks, Landon.
All right. Thanks.
So that's Landon out there in Arizona. We're talking one by one here with some of the chapter leaders of the FSH Society chapter groups here. We have also our featured guests are still live on air, Beth Johnston and Lee Reynolds, who are really spearheading this program. We're just kind of going right down the switchboard list here, bringing in these leaders one by one, sharing their story a little bit here on the FSH Society radio show. Next up we have last four digits are 5253. I believe this is another Sue. Is that right, Sue? Are you there?
Sue is here, and so is Kent.
Fantastic.
Hello to all of you. Yes.
Perfect. Hello. How are you both doing?
We're doing good. We're from the Bay Area chapter in San Francisco, California.
Beautiful area. That's fantastic. Tell us a little bit about your FSH story and how you decided to become a leader in these chapter groups.
Well, so I've had FSH for more than 40 years. I was diagnosed about 35 years ago. But really, that was kind of an isolative experience for me, like it is for many. It was just 2 years ago, I had found the FSH Society webpage and noticed that they were having a meeting in the Bay Area near, not too far from where we lived, and I thought, well, maybe we should go. And so that was my first opportunity to ever meet somebody else with FSH, and being in a room with 10 or 20 people was just kind of an amazing experience. So that was the beginning for us about 2 years ago.
So for you, this felt like this is the time to step up and kind of make it official chapter and kind of line up with the other team members. I guess that's the kind of term I'm going with. It seems like very team oriented here, even though it's a nationwide thing. We're all kind of lining up these chapters and becoming somewhat unified. I really appreciate that you guys have done that. It takes a lot of guts sometimes, to kind of step up and do that heavy lifting and kind of help organize.
Go ahead. I was just going to say,
please.
For us, Sue and I just retired about 6 months ago, and so in many ways, June had reached out to us and asked us, would we be interested in this? We attended the Connect conference in June and had an amazing experience in Las Vegas, meeting even more people and feeling supported. And so we are interested in this, in creating a community of support and a community to kind of spearhead this move towards a cure.
Yeah, it seems like that's kind of the onward goal here. Yeah, that people are saying, raising their hands to just join up. We do appreciate you guys doing that and taking the time to give us a call and sharing your story.
Thanks.
So that's out of the Bay Area. So we are stretching across the country. So far, what do you think, Beth and Lee? I know that you guys are kind of letting me take the wheel a little bit here. You can always chime in if I'm missing a question or a point that you kind of want to raise as we bring in these leaders.
Well, I just want to cry thinking about all of these people and how they have just lifted themselves up to a position that are going to lift others up. And all of these people are absolutely amazing. And if I could hug every single one of you right now, I would.
Go ahead.
Agree. No, mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I agree. And it's, I'm excited to watch where they will go and the magic they're going to make. So it's a really amazing group of people, and the family's only going to get bigger. So,
right. Yeah, I totally agree.
Hey,
yeah.
Tim, can I mention some of the other locations where we are having chapters form right now? You heard from Sue in Columbus and Landon and his wife Marie actually in Arizona, and then you got Kent and Sue out in the Bay Area. But can I just run through some of the other locations that people could possibly get in touch with?
Yeah, we can do that. Yeah. And then we do have a couple more I know that are on hold that I think are also leaders as well. But why don't you go ahead and go through the cities as well?
Well, just real quick, you know, this year
we'll
have a chapter in Colorado, up in New England. We've already launched the chapter in the Boston area. Out in D.C., there'll be a Mid-Atlantic chapter. And right behind the heels of the Bay Area launch, we'll have one in Sacramento and Los Angeles, Chicago area. So if you haven't talked to Dave Lucas yet there, Tim, I'm sure you will hear from Dave. He's launching the Chicago chapter. And then we'll have one in Atlanta, and then also in the greater Philly area, and in the Hartford area of Connecticut. So those are our 12 that'll be rolling out this year. So definitely go on our website. You can learn a little bit about the leaders, and you can contact them from our site as well. But let's hear from some more folks if you've got some online.
Yeah. Yeah. We have another one online here. Last four digits are 3589. I believe this is Lori. Lori, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here in Los Angeles, California.
Ah, fantastic. We were just talking about you. So how are you? And tell us a little bit about your FSH story and you know, what has driven you to become a chapter leader.
Well, my story is so similar to so many other people.
Sure.
I didn't have it in the family. I didn't know anybody who had it. And I was extremely active and athletic. Growing up, I would, you know, be on my bicycle at 6 o'clock in the morning, doing 30 miles before I went to work. And over the years, slowly, by the time I hit my late 40s, something happened. Something changed, and my legs didn't have any power. And I couldn't ride the bike. I couldn't, you know, climb mountains, and it took me a long time to finally decide to look for the reason.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did, it turned out to be FSH. So I was diagnosed for the first time in 2011, and I believe I found the FSH Society online. I wanted to help the cause, and I found through the society that muscle biopsies were required, and I took myself off to Baltimore and Dr. Catherine Wagner over there and donated some muscle tissue. And that's how I got started.
Wow. You're very brave for donating the tissue, by the way. I was apprehensive to try to go that route.
you know what? It's, what can I say? You know, the pain of it might have been very brief, but the contribution to what we all need is overwhelming. And you have to keep your eye on the long-range goal, you know? So whatever it takes. And that's
it sounds like,
my motto.
Yeah, and then it sounds like then that motto maybe carries over to why you've decided to be this chapter leader then, right? Whatever it takes.
Well, I met Amy Beckier a few years ago at her Irvine Walk and Roll, when she was doing it down in Irvine. And I thought, why can't we do something up in L.A.? And June supported us, and so we started meeting in the Los Angeles area. And we have a great group up here, great group. We have a fundraiser in October, the Ghostly Gala to Vanish FSH, which is going to be our third one. And last October, we had a one-day patient conference, I guess, a mini patient conference. And we invited researchers and physical therapists and support people, and we had 65, 70 people. It was great.
Wow.
It was really great. Yep.
Amazing. Motivating. Thank you very much, Lori, for coming on and sharing your story and being a chapter leader. We appreciate it very much.
Well, I just want to say the FSH Society has been fabulous, and they're fabulous to work with.
Awesome. Thank you again, Lori.
Thanks,
Lori.
You're welcome, guys.
Love it. Best plug ever. Absolutely. Thank you. So that's Lori then out of Los Angeles. Now there's another caller that guys has been on, you know, just as long. This is what I'm going to call a ghost caller. I'm not sure if this is a leader on hold or just a friendly listener. So we'll go off of the. I have no name for you, caller, but I have the last four digits for you at 6265. You have a first your name, and you want to share your story here on the FSH Society Radio. Well, I guess we just have a friendly listener, ladies. So. I guess it sounds like the theme, though, here is kind of like do it all, whatever it takes. You know, people stepping up, even though maybe, you know, it might not be easy physically, especially and in a lot of cases, I'm sure. But, you know, these people are courageous. I guess in closing, is there anything else you guys wanted to add to the segment?
I don't think
Beth,
so.
Come onto our website. There's a link under the Get Involved to meet the chapter leaders around the country. If there's already a chapter in your area, you can contact them and hopefully get involved with their group. If there isn't one in your area, we'd be happy to hear from you and get a chapter set up in your area. But I'd also just say, please support our upcoming fundraisers. And Lori reminded me, in addition to our walk and rolls, we've got this beautiful gala in the LA area, downtown Los Angeles, in one of the coolest clubs ever, on October the 21st. It's got a kind of a thing, Halloween theme to it, so it's really fun. So support all of these groups, support these fundraisers, and support each other.
Yep.
Sounds
and
like
I
a good thing.
Say,
Yeah,
I would say to add to that, if you're listening or you stumble across this later and you feel that little whisper in your head that says maybe some of this is for you, or that you think your time is now to step up and do something, you don't have to jump, you know, you don't have to pole vault to the other side of the Grand Canyon, right? We take this one switchback at a time to follow your journey, but that you're going to take. But it's just listen to the voice and say yes. And step in and connect. The staff at the FSH Society is amazing. They will find the right place for you. They have no one's going to get shoved in the deep end blind. And I think that time and time again, I have just seen that none of this is possible without the tremendous contribution of time and talent and energy and treasure that these volunteers give to the society. But the return on that investment, I think, is also really great. And so we're just really happy to be a part of taking this nationwide connection network to the next level. And, you know, but listen to the voice that is saying, maybe that's for me, and just give us a call or send an email or sign up with the form online and explore it a little more. I think the investment will totally have a payoff, not only for you, but for everyone that's impacted by FSHD.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks, guys, for joining us, taking the time out of your busy lives, busy schedules. Keep up the great work, and I'm sure we'll have you on again in the very near future.
Awesome.
Thanks for having us, Cam.
Yeah, thank you.
Likewise.
So that's Lee Reynolds, and we also had on Beth Johnston, right? And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the chapter groups. Now, there's one more caller that kind of came in a little on the back end, but I want to kind of have the opportunity for this caller to come on and see if they're one of the leaders that want to share their story. This caller, his last four digits is a 7967 caller. You're on the FSH Society radio show.
Yeah, this is Bill from Philadelphia.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
I was on earlier on my wife's phone. I switched over to my phone. So you didn't have either one of those extensions. we're just beginning here in Philadelphia. We are, just forming this particular chapter.
Sure.
We do have a target meeting scheduled the end of September, our first meeting, and have been well supported by Beth and team. And hope to be very successful there. I've been part of the FSH Society for well over a decade. In fact, I have been here longer than Facebook's been around, and it's been a tremendous asset that has given me guidance to work through having FSH in a much more productive fashion. And mm-hmm. listening to how other people handle their lives, what the challenges are, and also gaining insight into the research and different approaches to physical therapy and other aspects of what we require, that's what the FSH Society delivers. And it is just tremendous. And my objective, the reason that I decided I would get involved in this fashion to start a chapter, is that there are many other people out there that haven't had this kind of support. They are unaware of the FSH Society. They are kind of wandering around aimlessly trying to find somebody who can give them good, solid information or provide them with hope based on the research that is occurring today. And I just want to make sure that as many people as possible are aware of this society and benefit from it. That really is what we're going to pursue here in Philadelphia. And the fundraisers we'll take a look at as well, but the first mm-hmm. step from my perspective is to get more people engaged.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it sounds like you're headed in the right direction there out in Philadelphia. Thanks for coming on, sharing your story. We appreciate you stepping up and being a chapter leader on the FSH Society. Thank you very much.
Okay.
So, as you can all tell, this is nationwide. You know, we're going from coast to coast now, and lining up leadership chapter groups one by one. As we wind out the show here, going into overtime, which I'm always fine with, especially when we have a great show like this, we're talking to great people. I want to thank all the leaders for calling in tonight, all those great chapter leaders. You can go on fshsociety.org and look up all their contact information. Get a hold of one of those groups in your area. Get involved. Get involved. Help them out. Help them start those fundraising events. Special thanks to Beth Johnston and Lee Reynolds for being on the show today. Sounds like they have a lot of work ahead of them, but they're excited to get into it and keep working hard. Check out those walk and roll events near you and get involved in that as well. Next episode is next month in August, the last Wednesday of the month. We'll have Kristen Duquette on. She is on 8/29 in August here. She's an advocate, an athlete, a former Obama political appointee, and so much more. You should see this woman's resume. It's fantastic. And to have her on to talk about FSH and her story is going to be phenomenal. So look her up. She's going to be on the next show in August. We're very excited to have that going. And as always, thank you. Thank you for the listener. Thank you for the people that get involved in this show by honestly just simply clicking play and listening to the show and then spreading the word through Facebook and Twitter, where you can find all our FSH on there and follow us on there and spread the word to your friends. Get the word out what this disease is. Unified, we are extremely powerful. So thanks again for being here, all of you. You've been listening to the FSH Society Radio Show. Take care. Good night.